Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Guns it. Caught. Touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Make it count. Jack Daniels. Please drink responsibly. And sponsored by MD Anderson Cancer Center on Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Glad
that's
to have
like
you
to
guys
hear.
Listening. Right. Apparently, Mike, someone in the restaurant here, you're coming to a bar, said, can you guys come over here and turn this down a little bit? Is it possible that you guys could turn the volume down just a little bit? We've decided to come drink at a bar, and it's a little loud
hey,
in here.
Tell Buck Ballou to have a scotch and lighten it up, okay?
I have no idea who you're talking about. Either way, we're glad that you are out here with us at Twin Peaks, Kennesaw. We're going to be at Buckhead location tomorrow, hanging out, starting at 2 o'clock. Andy and Randy will be out there as well, guys. We got a lot to talk about here over the next hour. We're done at 6 because we've got the NCAA tournament coming up tonight. 4 games on tap. We talked to Scott Spinelli earlier. He's a former coach in the NCAA, coach at BC, and was talking to us about all the matchups. It should be a fun night of basketball. But with that said, Mike, let's talk about what happened today in the NFL. And a couple of things are going on. One of them, and I was saying this, I saw a comment from Chris actually sent this to me. I saw a comment from a gentleman who apparently says he covers the NFL. I've never heard of him. His name is Seth Walder. And Seth, basically, this is his statement. It gets us into where we're at right now and what we may do in the draft. But he says the Falcons have had a pretty rough offseason so far. And then he goes on to say they overpaid for Lindstrom. They brought back McGarry despite pass pro struggles. Overpaid Onyemata. Paid sticker price for Bates when the safety market was cheap. And they're rolling with Ritter and Heineke instead of going after Lamar. Now, this was his comment.
Right.
Okay.
By the way, he's described as ESPN sports analytics writer, primarily covering the NFL.
Primarily. Here's the deal, and this is what we tell you guys all the time about some of the guys that are not in our marketplace, that are not here day in and day out, and don't know anybody from the teams that we're talking about. We didn't overpay for anybody. We didn't overpay for Lindstrom, who, by the way, the market value for him was $20 million a year. We didn't overpay for McGarry. The market value for McGarry was $18 million franchise tag, Mike. We didn't overpay for Onyemata. His value was considered to be almost $10 million or $11 million. We didn't pay that. And we certainly didn't overpay for Bates, who could have gotten a lot more money and ends up here at about $14 million a year. I just don't buy this at all. And I said to him, shh, glad you know what you're talking about. The Falcons guys have had a really good free agent period. The part of it that I keep stressing is we haven't overpaid for guys. It has put us in a really good position, and they were firm on not doing that, Mike.
I got to be honest. We mentioned this when the deal went down. For a guy you drafted, again, this was a Dimitroff pick, but it worked out, and that's Chris Lindstrom, right in the box, ready to play, coming off a Pro Bowl season. Now, sometimes it might hurt your Pro Bowl marketability because you're surrounded by some meh, but this is a guy who earned it. And by the way, the contract is slightly – the only difference between him and the Quentin Nelson deal last year
years.
From India is the term.
Is the
and
years.
Another year. But I will agree with him on one thing.
All right.
Nobody that I know that's a Falcons fan was rushing to give Caleb McGarry a deal.
Neither did they. They didn't do it day one.
But they didn't, and it came back, and it's a very, you could argue, team-friendly deal. But the question remains, can he pass block? He's a run blocker, but can he pass block? That's the question.
I don't know if that's – for me, that wasn't the question. The question was, if you didn't pay him, you were going to go out and pay someone else and probably overpay. The McGarry deal was all about not overpaying, and if we don't pay him, you aren't going to be in line to go pay one of these top-tier tackles. You saw the money. You saw what other guys were getting. I don't think they wanted to be in that marketplace. So they waited. And they continue to negotiate, and I give them credit. Point is, don't believe the hype. That's all I'm telling you.
But again, it's complete.
It's a complete falsehood that this particular free agent period, we have not done the right things, and more importantly, all these guys did not get overpaid. That's crap.
It was not a great edge rusher draft. It was not a great wide receiver draft. So no one's going to give Odell Beckham $20 million he's asking for. That's insane, coming off multiple injuries. But I will agree in the sense that we were never excited about Caleb McGarry unless the price is right. But how much better will Desmond Ridder be knowing he's basically behind the same offensive line, just waiting to see what that next left guard is going to be?
An annual average salary for his position of $11 million, Mike, is a $7 to $10 million bargain per year. Guys who were free agents, go look at the other guys that got signed. 3 years, $34 million, his per-year average. I'm telling you, this is a great
deal. Orlando Brown found the market was not that robust. And wound up going to the Bengals for pennies on the dollar.
So, and here's the other part about this McGarry contract. We've been saying this. A lot of these deals are really one-year deals. If he doesn't play well for whatever reason, you look at year two, Mike, by year three, you're out of this deal. I mean, it's only a three-year deal, but you're out of this deal.
Now, again, he's coming at this from an analytics standpoint, and you know how I feel about analytics.
Sure.
But I will say, let me just throw this out.
Well, you're talking about the emotion of Caleb McGarry. I'm talking about the financials, which is what he's saying.
No, you waited for the market to settle, and you did not overpay, but he's still saying McGarry's – he's saying you overpaid for your Chris Lindstrom, and he said McGarry's still not – he's not a complete right tackle.
But you weren't going to go sign McGlinchey either.
No.
And that's the part.
And he's a slightly better version of what you have.
Correct. So you make a decision, and it's not going to be perfect everywhere, which is why I said, this has been a good offseason so far for the Falcons.
Now, we'll see where the draft goes.
Now,
one of the other things, again, this is a guy named Seth Walton. I'm not trying to give him extra hype, but he's the guy who initiated this conversation.
Yes, he did.
Jesse Bates was, some would say, a safety was a luxury item when you've got to be more fundamentally sound at edge rush. But this wasn't a great edge rush draft, which brings us back to shining point number one. Are we better in the trenches now? Onyemata is a good – I don't know what – Onyemata got a decent contract. I think the Onyemata contract was reasonable.
I don't think
we overpaid for that. I think that's a dramatic license in his article there.
Either way, you can go check it out. I reposted it at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, follow Mike and Mike Bell, ATL. Follow the radio show at Dukes and Bell 929 and, of course, at 929 The Game. Here's the deal, guys. A lot of pundits have us taking a corner in the draft at 8 overall, and I'm wondering how you feel about this. So Daniel Jeremiah, we love him. NFL Network does his homework. He's got us taking Christian Gonzalez right now. He's probably the number one corner out of Oregon. Mel Kiper has us taking Devon Witherspoon out of Illinois. If you're not familiar with him, top-notch, had a great combine. He's right there as well. Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports, who also is very credible, has us taking Christian Gonzalez as well. Point is, Mike, do you like this?
We got Casey Hayward for one more year. We've added some safety. We added a corner who's going to play more of a slot for replacing Isaiah Oliver, who's gone with the 49ers. You know what? If you bring in the best corner available, it's still a need. You still need a long-term answer at corner. And it's not sexy. It's going to be – I think it'll be received the same way. Maybe a little bit warmer than the Drake London pick was because we still need help. We got the worst defense in the league, guys. And we added the fourth best defensive tackle in free agency. So – you're going to have to go spend somewhere, somehow. I still love an edge rusher, and I know that you and I have debated who's the guy, who's the best piece. But corner is still something that, again, it all comes down to what does Fontenot and all the scouts, Carl, have on that big whiteboard at Flowery Branch? Have they got the corners over the best edge rusher available at the 8th spot? So we might, Falcon fans, get ready. Could be a corner.
404-741-0929.
But you ruined this for me yesterday for the second day now in a row.
What are you talking about?
You threw out that Bijan Robinson thing.
What are you talking about?
No, because it's stuck in my head. By the way, one of our listeners is shaking his head vigorously. Don't give yourself whiplash. But I'm just saying, you want to give all the weapons for your offense. You want to go to the business model of 16.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, guys. We were the 27th best defense within a Super Bowl. And then we conked out in the second half. We got exploited. And part of that was Desmond Trufant wasn't on the field. But do you feel, Carl, this has got to be the draft where you come and you say, much like the 2015 draft with Beasley, I've got to take – see, someone say you're overemphasizing need over the best player. I mean, do you want an offensive tackle? Do you want to get a – you want to go a guard that can play tackle? Do you want to go get a corner or do you want to get an edge rusher? What's the biggest – technically all three are needs.
They are. Well, again, if you keep telling me that we're taking the best player, if that in fact is true, then let's take the best player. If the best player – and this is why I know it's not true. If the best player on the board is Bijan Robinson, they're not taking it. If the best player on the board allegedly
Nolan Smith.
Nolan Smith, they're probably not taking him. So I know that's not true. You draft for need. And again, this is the biggest quandary the Falcons are going to have when we look at the draft, is we're going to have the ability at 8 to right. take either the best offensive lineman, the best corner, because they're going to be there.
Right.
I think we get 4 quarterbacks taken in the top 10. We pick at 8. We're going to have the option of taking the best player potentially at 3 positions. Which one are you going to go with?
And I still think Jalen Carter will be gone. I still think Jalen Carter goes to Seattle. But to your point, some guys would say Nolan Smith is not worth an 8th overall pick. Well, guess what? In hindsight, you would have taken Micah Parsons
neither
in
was
the 8th pick.
That's right. Neither
he
was Micah
11,
Parsons.
So you pick your guy.
that's who my man wants right there. He wants the big Georgia boy. Hey,
man,
coming up.
You find your guy. Let's again, I'll be honest, though. We have not been sexy. It's not been sexy at all. Is, I mean, not that it matters, but
no.
if you're trying to get your fan base really juiced up, there's nothing about this free agent that's got your fan base juiced up, other than Jesse Bates.
Coming up, well, yeah.
Because you knew who he was.
Yeah, but you got a premier free agent and one of the top free agents right. of this class.
But what does it matter when your front four can't get a pass rush?
I haven't seen how it's going to look. I like it. I don't know why you wouldn't. Hey, coming up, Hawks lose last night, but what did our star have to say about the officiating? It was bad. It's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is Maggie Gray with a CBS Sports Minute. Oregon men's basketball coach Dane Alden.
Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Oh, it's all about bad officiating. Last night, Hawks lose 125-124. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, hanging out, having a good time. They're going to have all the games on tonight, by the way. NCAA tournament action going on. We'll be at the Buckhead location tomorrow, so we'll switch things up and head that way. But last night, Mike, we're watching the game.
Right.
We're in the game. They played well. But I'm like, what happened at the end of this game where the Hawks, it seemed like things fell apart? And again, listen, it was bad officiating, and we're going to talk about it. But this was a winnable game.
Yeah, and I got to be honest, if you watched the game last night, Sadiq Bey had 16 points in the second half. His points all came in the second. And they got back in the rotation. This is a little Nate-like. And there was more static with the rotation.
Flat.
And Quinn Snyder went back to the starters with 5 minutes to go. And Trey proceeded to give 2 turnovers right off the jump on 2 consecutive trips down the floor. And unfortunately, they just lost energy. And all of a sudden, baskets became a little more easy. They went on a 7-0 run. I joked around with you earlier. John Collins and Capella couldn't defend. They're more bigger. They're bigger. They're more athletic than us. And they were taken to the rack. And it was frustrating because they went on a run, we went on a run, they went on a run, and then unfortunately, Carl, the refs got involved.
They did. Quinn Snyder talking about
not this ready to go.
No, not at the end.
I'm sorry, Coach Nate, you are not germane to these proceedings.
He's still relevant. Quinn Snyder was talking about this was a tough one to lose, and here's the deal, guys: we got 9 left.
Right,
Chris? Am I right? 9 games left. Am I right?
Nine games.
There were 9.
All right. Here's Quinn Snyder.
Tough game to lose. I thought we really competed throughout the whole game. You know, I was thinking about this and that and the other, a shot here, a foul here, a call here, a missed shot, you know, and I just kept coming back to the same thing that we just competed. And, you know, over time, that's the most important thing for a team to do.
Now, Carl Anthony Towns was back, so Catman was out there, but no Ant-Man.
No.
Anthony Edwards was not in the mix last night. No DeJounte Murray. You know, we talked about some of the injuries for the Hawks, but still, but you said this at the end, if you missed the end of the show yesterday, Carl specifically said, again, Carl Duke's words, not mine, that Trey needed to give me some superstar stuff. The stuff that when I asked for, apparently, you know, I'm asking for the moon and the stars. But sometimes you need to elevate your game to compensate for injuries or the lack of other star power.
Yes.
And Trey, he responded by turning the ball over twice. Two bad turnovers. Why would you pick up your dribble at the top of the key against a bigger, wider length of your team? Made no sense. That's on Trey. That's not on Quinn. It's certainly not on Nate because Nate's not here anymore. Trey made some bad decisions last night. Now, Trey made a good decision. He took a charge and should have gotten the call. He got run over. His feet were planted. No call. And that was one of the big turning points of the game.
It really was. Quinn Snyder was talking about not getting a foul call on an inbounds play, which was another completely different play. But overall, the officiating was terrible last night. This is what Quinn Snyder said about it.
You need to go ask Scott on the 2-minute report.
Now, at the end of the game, they did admit, the officials did admit that they blew a call, Mike.
Shocking.
But they couldn't change it. It doesn't change anything when you talk about the overall result. So sometimes you have to overcome the officiating. Trey, 14 to 16 from the free throw line. That's great. 29 points. If you're saying, well, Dukes and Bell, what more did you ask him to do? Well, maybe I needed 35 last night. It's one of those nights where you go, hey, we're not getting out of the playoff hunt here.
I needed you to be more, I don't know, situationally aware of bringing the ball up the court. You turned it over twice. That turned into baskets. Yeah. That was a major swing in the game.
It was.
I'm not making that up. Go back and watch it. I watched it again this morning to make sure I got it right. Now, one thing about getting it right, they didn't get it right. Ben Taylor needs to be selling insurance or used cars or be an ACC official.
Suspended.
This was the guy who Fred VanVleet got into it with, and Fred got cost $30,000 for saying how incompetent this guy is. So they dropped him as start. He was a number one ref, head of a crew. So over the last four or five games, he was a number two. Guess what? Last night, he's back in the game with us, and this guy's incompetent. The officiating last night for both the Timberwolves and the Hawks, both teams had a right to bellyache. Some would say, well, that cancels it out. But, Carl, it was basic stuff they couldn't get right last night. It was ridiculous, including the fouls that weren't called at the final possession for us.
Well, that was a big part of it. Snyder was talking about the final inbounds play. This is how he described what he thought happened.
There was three options, but We can execute that play a little better. We started too soon before the referee didn't hand DeAndre the ball, but we had, you know, I think we had a couple guys open. So, but again, you know, we had a look, we had a chance for an offensive rebound, and had a three, had a two, didn't happen, but we competed.
Towns, by the way, ends up drawing the foul on John Collins. This is how the game ended. He goes to the line, converts both.
And by the way,
3.6 seconds left in the game.
Now, if you didn't see the game last night, the best way I can describe it, John's got position in the paint. He starts coming down Towns. Towns uses John for leverage, wraps his arm around him. And you could argue that initiated the contact.
Yeah.
And then John was kind of just falling as he pulled him, and they called it on Collins. And then they reviewed it, and I thought for sure we're going to get the review, and we did, and it was brutal. And again, Ben Taylor, 37-year-old official, been in the league for 10 years, rather young. He was on the floor for LeBron's 61-point game against the Bobcats back in 14, and no one really heard of him until this year when he's been screwing things up seven ways to Sunday.
Yeah, Towns scored 22 points last night. Hawks come back home. They'll take on the Pacers. But, again, the countdown is on, and all these games matter. And now, Mike, give me the standings again. Where are we at right now? Because we were talking about, oh, we still can reach the sixth spot. I think it's going to be very difficult. It's not happening.
No, you may fall to the nine, which might actually be more advantageous because you won't play the Heat off the jump. Now, you got to play more games. You've added more workload to you. But, guys, right now when it comes to the Hawks, unfortunately, they've lost some of the leverage. They are now 3.5 games behind the Heat. Toronto did lose last night, so you didn't lose ground on them. But you're not really going anywhere, and the sixth seed is a pipe dream.
No.
You're going to be playing the Heat.
Yeah.
The odds are right now you're the eight. It's going to be 8-7. You're screwed.
Thank you, Nate. You shoot 54%. That never gets old, by the way. 54% from the field. You hit 12 of 26 three-pointers. You had a lead on the road, and you blew it. We're talking about all the things that we didn't like last night, and the officiating sucked. There's no doubt. But at the end of the day, you shot 54% and hit 12 of 26 threes, Mike. Your star had 29 points. You had all your starters in double figures, and you couldn't find a way to win. That's just where we are. That's where this team has
been.
But
you and I have talked about this. I can consider maybe three or four games. I always talk about the West Coast game, the Portland game, maybe the Kings. They don't play four quarters. They score 40 in the first, 22 in the second, 35, then 27. Trey's got the turnovers. I know DeJounte's not out there, but you said it at the end of the show yesterday. You said it. I mean, I need Trey to elevate his game. And if you just look simply at the stat sheet, which a lot of his fans do because they do, God know nothing else, but they look at the stats and go, he did his job. No, he blew it at the end.
And well, at the end of these games is what matters. It's
crunch time. It's Dukesism.
And what separates these stars, whether it's Tatum, Embiid, whether it's Giannis, it's what separates them, Mike. And so you're telling me the last 5 minutes of the game when I need you to be your best, that's what we needed last night.
No, but guys will look at the stat sheet and go, well, man, you know, Trey, 29-8, pretty good game. He turned it over when the game was on the frickin' line.
Yeah, it was tough. We'll see what they do against the Pacers as they come back home. 404-741-0929. Do we get out of the play-in tournament?
Now, last year, same boat. Started in Charlotte. I went to the game against the Bobcats at State Farm.
Yeah, we were there.
And Trey took it over.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cleveland game, Trey took it over.
Yeah.
And that's why yesterday you said, Trey, take it over. Elevate. Because we know you're capable. We've seen this. We saw it 2 years ago, but he doesn't do it consistently. So if he can get his head right, if Quinn can tap into that, he can still capable. Now, again, him and DeJounte don't work. Let's just call it what it is. DeJounte and Trey don't work together. And the trade was a bad idea, and that's why Schlenk didn't want to do it.
Coming up, we're going to finish things up. We're done at 6. NCAA action coming up. Pre-game, and then we've got four games tonight here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But when we come back, we're going to talk about Bryce Young. His pro day was today. What did we learn about the Alabama quarterback? It's next on Sports Radio 92.9.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Around the yard with your 2021 World Series champion Atlanta Braves. On Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Braves played the Mets today, but that really wasn't the news because we found out today that Raisel Iglesias, our closer, is going to start the season on the IL. He's going to miss at least a couple of weeks, Mike. Could miss up to 15 games. I hope that's not the case when you talk about how long he's going to be out, but it also means platoon closing, which means A.J. Minter and Joe Jimenez, who we picked up from the Tigers.
Now, we know about Minter and Minter getting a chance back in the day before we finally brought some, you know, to be honest, real closers in, thanks to Alex Anthopoulos, but Minter's got the heat. It's just a matter of Minter keeping his composure. I don't know Jimenez's work other than what we see statistically from his time in Detroit, but, yeah, I mean, let's be honest, Raisel Iglesias was a guy I was actually kind of pining for to actually take the job over from Kenley Jansen down the stretch. Remember last year when Jansen was wobbling? So that's it's not as bad, believe me, it's not even close to what the Mets are dealing with, missing Edwin Diaz for the season now. But the Braves will have to pivot for at least the first 2 weeks, apparently, of the year.
This just in as well, speaking of the Braves, Michael Soroka to AAA to start the season. We've got 31 players in camp, so Michael Remember, he's going by Michael now. Michael Soroka is going to start the season in AAA.
Now, if I'm honest, I was a bit surprised that Ian Anderson and Bryce Elder went down before Soroka, but they gave Soroka another opportunity. And, again, we're all pulling for him. You don't want to sound mean-hearted about Soroka, but, you know, whatever your expectations are, I think you got to temper it. But it just needs a little more time. He didn't get a chance to pitch in the minors last year. But I know everybody in Braves Nation is pulling for this guy. Now, one thing is for sure, we can bank on the amazing spring. Now, there's no trophy for it. Doesn't mean anything but medals. It's raking. Again, today, guys, 1-for-2 with two RBIs. If you didn't watch, they played the Mets. Carl, it's a tie. So it's spring training, 2-2. But Matt Olson with his 7th home run of a Grapefruit League action. How about that?
He's incredible. The numbers are – listen, if this was the regular season and he started this way, we'd be talking about Matt Olson as an early MVP candidate because, you know, to lead the league, at least right now in spring training, these are impressive numbers.
And I will say this. I know when you have no expectations, as my dad used to say, you can never be disappointed. Marcelo Zuna. 2-for-3, batting .349 this year at spring training for the Braves out in Northport. And whatever you get from that dude
is extra
gravy. Yeah. That's a bonus.
It's extra. So news of Soroka, again, starting in AAA. We already know they optioned Vaughn Grissom and Shoemake.
Right.
And we've talked about this. There are guys.
RC had a huge day yesterday at the plate.
We expected to be on this team, and you go, well, they're not going to be there for opening day. If I'm a Braves fan, let's not get discouraged. These guys are going to get a shot. As one guy just hit me up, I just retweeted the Soroka information, and he's like, well, I hope he's back, you know, pretty soon. He's going to get a shot. I don't know when. He will get his opportunity.
I think it's you're wishing something which may not happen. I hope I'm wrong. And if he does, I'll be the first guy to get him on the show and congratulate him because he's a great young man. But it's just it's taking a while.
Let's talk about what we learned from Bryce Young. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, he threw today at Alabama, his pro day. Footage is out there. You can see it.
He did not weigh in, Carl Dukes.
So does that bother you?
He's 190 pounds soaking wet. It is what it is.
Yep.
I mean, he literally, whatever they put into his body. Matter of fact, I'd have loved him in a Cracker Barrel in Indianapolis watching him chow down. They might have had him wearing a diaper when he was on the scale up there at the combine. But he's not a 200-pound guy, but they pumped that up. His listing at Alabama was 5'10 and 194, for what it's worth. But again, if you believe in him and you got an offensive line that can block for him, then he's good to go.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. He looked good. Nick Saban was defending his guy today, saying, you know, if they were asking him, is he too small? Saban saying, look, go ask the teams that played against him and see if that affected his play. I don't think this at all affects his draft status, whether it's the weight or the height. We knew this going in. And by the way, whoever drafts him, you're not going to stretch him, okay? He's not going to grow 3 or 4 more inches.
Now, so, again, Rob, I'll give you a comp, even though it's completely different. RG3, Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, bigger.
He also, 6'2", 213.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, again, he was outside the pocket where he got crushed, including by our Falcons.
Correct.
Was it Witherspoon? Or was it Spoon that got him?
I believe so.
Yeah, Spoon got him up in D.C.
I believe so. The RG3 RG3 thing with the RPO, and by the way, Kyle Shanahan was there his rookie season.
Right.
He had a great year. I just think Bryce is a different dude, and more importantly, not necessarily saying that he's going to be better than he was his rookie year. As you make these comparisons, all I'm saying is his skill set. If you ask me right now, it's still the number one quarterback I'm taking. I know CJ had a great workout yesterday. Panthers, by the way, their contingent left CJ Stroud's workout. And then had dinner with Bryce last night. So they flew from Ohio down to Alabama. We're talking about David Tepper, the whole contingent from the Carolina Panthers. And then the Raiders met with him before he worked out today. So all these teams in the top 10, Mike, are meeting, and they're trying to get as much information about Bryce Young as they possibly can.
But the wild thing that came out yesterday is a good friend of ours, Thomas Davis. We had him on the show, great Georgia Bulldog. You remember this guy from three knee surgeries at his time up in Carolina, battled back. He goes on a podcast. It's Move the Sticks, our buddy Daniel Jeremiah's podcast. He says he's hearing Anthony Richardson, which is mind-blowing because the risk versus reward is insane.
Yeah.
But the upside is pretty bananas if he finally gets coached up and gets more accurate. But if this is the greatest game, Carl, of Texas Hold'em, and you've got your poker face on and your intentions are AR, holy shnikes.
This is a lot. You're doing a lot. For when you talk about misdirection, this is a lot.
But remember when
because you don't have to, Mike.
But remember,
you're number one.
Yes, when the 49ers moved up to 3 and everyone thought it was Mac Jones. And remember they pulled the trigger on Trey?
Yeah.
Is it Trey Young?
Trey Young. Or no, Trey Lance.
Lance. Excuse me. And everyone's like, what the deuce? Look, all it takes, we've always said, is one team to be in love with a guy. I get it. Richardson checks. He's the modern. You know, Cam's going to get mad. He's the modern-day Cam Newton. I know Cam worked out yesterday at Auburn, but he's that younger version of Cam, that same kind. And much like Cam, totally inaccurate percentage. Cam's percentage completion-wise is under 60% for his NFL career.
Yeah, I think this is a lot of misdirection. The reason why you make this move to go to one is to say, we don't care what anybody else does. We get the pick. We can pick Richard. If you want Richardson, you pick him. If you want Bryce Young, you pick him. If you want C.J. Stroud, no one's going to come in and snake you for the pick. We've made the move, so now you can sit back.
Exactly. And some guys, we were talking about this at the bar today. If you feel somebody there is going to move up because they covet Richardson and they try to get to two or three, you're right. You've eliminated the competition and you've locked in your guy. If you could go back in time, could we, hypothetically, if you get the time machine, I know, stupid sports talk radio premise, tell me you wouldn't take Micah Parsons over Kyle Pitts.
Everybody would. Two-time All-Pro already?
All over the field. Come on. No answer for this guy. We haven't had an athlete like that. Well, you go back to, like, Jesse Tuggle, a young Jesse Tuggle or the Predator.
Yeah, everybody would. The draft is going to be crazy. And the reason why it matters for us Falcon fans is because it's in our division. Whomever they go get, I don't want to be looking up at that person for the next 10 years and they're owning the division and they're our nemesis and we can't get past them. Right. And it goes back to this draft when all of a sudden we weren't in the quarterback business and they were. Just saying.
Again, just I know we got a break. At the end of the day, some folks still feel quietly, whispers, next year's quarterback class will be better.
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
There's a kid at USC, Carl.
Yeah.
He was a Sooner. He's a Trojan.
He is good.
Some guys like to see him as a Falcon.
No, he is good. Let's get out of here, man, and clear our throat.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show, so it's time for
Let Me Clear My Throat
on Sports Radio 92.9. Oh! The Game.
Hey, big shout-out to all of our guests. You got a chance to hear John McClain. He joined us late in the show yesterday talking about the draft. Scott Spinelli talking about the NCAA tournament. Also, Dean Jones. We went to Carolina today to find out what they thought about the workout yesterday of C.J. Stroud. Tomorrow, a big Friday show live from Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Inviting you to come on through. Andy and Randy will be there before we come on at 2 o'clock, guys. We'll talk about the NCAA tournament, what happens tonight, and you can listen to all of the action right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So make sure you stay tuned. Coverage starting at 6 o'clock. Hey, big shout-out to all of our listeners, Mike, that came through today. Guys, some guys have left. Some guys still hanging out. But it's always good to see you guys. We appreciate you as always. Without you, there would be no us.
You're not mutants. You are mutants.
And I love it. Hey, Turtle, great job behind the glass. Our producer, executive producer, he's doing all the things. Steve Holman's going to join us tomorrow, Grant McCauley as well, and we're chasing some other guests, so make sure you're here starting at 2. Hey, Mike Bell, we got to get out of here, man. Clear your throat!
Hey, thanks to my brother for another mother, little E on the buttons over here live on location. Real quick, Carl, you touched on it earlier. We've talked a lot about it. There's going to be some broken hearts this year in the draft because of these evaluations, and all you can go by is reputation, and that's why so many teams sent people into Athens about what's Jalen Carter really about. I don't know what Todd McShay bases information on when he first threw that nugget out there. Again, all the way back before the national championship, that somehow Jalen Carter was a troubled dude with off-field issues, I would still take him right now. If he's there at number 8, Jalen Carter is a guy that we've not had that type of athlete on this team. Now, Carl pointed out, and I agree, we haven't had an athlete like Nolan Smith. Some would say Nolan Smith's not worth a top 10 pick. We just referenced Micah Parsons. If you could go back in time, you'd take Micah Parsons at 1. Take Nolan Smith. Take the best athlete available. Take a defensive game changer, which this team just doesn't specialize in decades.
Braves fans, it's all about pitching. Maybe you know him, maybe you don't. But Jared Schuster played at Wake Forest. He was a first-round pick for the Braves. Did you see what he did today? He's had a really good spring, and we're always worried about what happens to the next guy. Well, another strong showing by Jared Schuster. 6 innings, mostly against the Mets lineup regulars. That's a good lineup. He only gave up 2 hits and 2 runs, 2 walks with 2 strikeouts. My point is, he may be the next man up. We're talking to you tomorrow live from Twin Peaks and Buckhead. If you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you've just been optioned to Gwinnett.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.